Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're talking to Texas House District 95 candidate Taylor Mondick. Taylor says, vote for the candidate, not the party affiliation. So tonight, we want to know, who is Taylor Mondick? Taylor says he is passionate about property taxes, school security, the borders, and accountability. So before we begin, a disclaimer. The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Let's Talk Fort Worth, the host, or our advertisers. But that said, Let's Talk Fort Worth. Good evening, Taylor. How are you? And welcome to Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hi, Carrie. I'm good. And let me just say, you have got the best intro music in all of radio. Sam Cooke gives it right every single time. So I'm very happy to be here and talk to you and your listeners. I'm looking forward to it.
Wonderful. Thank you. You know, I play that intro music every week because I want to remind myself that change will eventually come.
Amen. Yes, it's a good one. It's a good one to start the show off with.
Thank you. Thank you. Taylor, tell us about who is Taylor Mondick.
Well, I was born in Dallas. I'm a Texas native, born and raised. and, you know, first half by a single mom and then a stepdad who I'm very grateful for, and two wonderful grandparents. So it was my mom and my grandma, my great-grandma. They kind of directed me that first part of my life, and I'm a world traveler, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, I did athletics all through school and got a scholarship actually to Hawaii Pacific University. Go Sea Warriors. And I, from there I moved to Western Australia and I got to experience a little bit of life there. And, then I moved to Fort Worth in 2011, and I had never lived in Fort Worth before. And I fell in love with the city. I fell in love with the communities, the people, and haven't looked back. I don't think I'm ever going to leave Fort Worth.
Wow. Oh, wow. You got quite a history there. What types of experience have you had that would make you feel that you're prepared to be a representative for House District 95?
You know, I think I have the kind of experience that the everyday working man and woman can appreciate. You know, I started a business when I was 23, and, you know, no one gave me anything. I kind of scraped by. I worked three jobs to get this business up and going, and I own a youth sports facility. We do tumbling and gymnastics, trampolines, things like that. So it was hard work. So I know what it takes to make something of yourself and to be successful, and it takes hard work. And I'm an employer. You know, I work with people every day. I work with kids. I work with their parents. And anybody who's ever worked with parents knows that it is not easy. And so it's that I think has helped me a lot. And, you know, more importantly, I'm a member of this community. When I moved here, I moved to District 95 because I felt called to. I just felt like this was home when I got here. And like I said, I haven't looked back. So it's an experience that we all share. So it's nothing fancy. No, I don't come from a political background or lineage, but I think that's what we need right now.
Wow. Why should the voters vote for Taylor Mundick?
I mean, well, look around, guys. It's our streets are a mess. I mean, you can't drive anywhere without messing your car up. This infrastructure is a mess, and yet our property taxes, well, our taxes keep going up, so that's a problem. Crime is starting to get out of control. You know, we've got upticks in violence and violent crimes, gang-related violence in some of our neighborhoods. I mean, these politicians are not for you, and they are not for me. And that's why you should vote for me to be your state representative, because I am so far removed from that that group, that club, and that is what we need. We need that right now in Austin, here in District 95.
You know, we saw a post that you made, I guess, taunting your opponent on some level, and you said there had been 3,332 days. Can you elaborate on that post?
Yeah, I mean, okay, listen, I'm going to be real honest with you guys. There's a reason why she's earned the moniker No Show Nicole, okay? You've had 3,332 days, and I'm walking around this district, and I can count on two hands how many people know the name of our representative. That is a problem. That's unacceptable, you know? And it's that kind of lack of visibility and relationship with your community that makes me even more enthused to get up every single day and to get out there and to walk this district and meet as many people as I can, because we need representation in Austin.
What was the catalyst that made you say you wanted to run for office, though?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
What was the catalyst that made you say, I am running for office? What took you there?
You know, when I finally settled here into 95, it was, and it felt like home, and it felt like something that I wanted to see prosper. And then I look around and at our you know, leaders, and I see them not doing anything. That's when I was like, you know what? who's going to do it? Who's going to step up? And then you watch election after election. No one runs against these people. No one steps up. You know, we have a lot of people complaining, but a whole lot of people not doing anything. And we've got some great activists and some leaders in our communities. We really do. And I've met them that are really taking the time to make their neighborhoods better places. But it's just, it's a compounding, like a snowball of just a lack of action, a lack of, you know, getting anything done that really just propelled me to get out there and throw my hat in the ring, you know?
Wow. You know, and you're right. A lot of people are, I call them Monday morning quarterbacks or barbershop talkers, you know, front porch talkers, where they talk about it, but they never, there's never any action. So you decided to put your money where your mouth was?
Yeah. And you know, here's the deal. I was guilty too. You know, I've been asleep for a long time, concerned about my own business, my own affairs, and, you know, just keep, I guess, put my head in the proverbial sand. But there comes a point that, you know, we're going to have to do something or it's never going to change. And I'll tell you, maybe some people out there can relate, you know, when the pandemic hit and I was told that I had to close everything down and not know how I was going to pay my staff or pay my bills. And I know we all went through this, but that's when I thought the government has gone too far. Where are my leaders? Where are the people standing up for me, for my rights to provide for myself, for my employees? And it was just, it was a whole bunch of things that was like, you got to get up. You got to get off your butt. You got to get out there and do something.
So you thought the pandemic restrictions were too rough on the business owners and people who had jobs?
Yes, I did.
I
think that here's the deal. We were hit with something that we had. It was new. We had never experienced anything like this, at least in my lifetime. And so I give a lot of grace to some of our leaders because we were all trying to figure it out together. But we saw that when we, as soon as we agreed to these lockdowns, these restrictions, how quickly things escalated and how, you know, further they reached in trying to control our lives. And we're seeing the detrimental effects of some of these policies that were put in place. And, you know, here's my thing, let the people take care of themselves. You know, I mean, if I'll tell you for an example, at my facility, you know, we got to the point where I was like, if you don't want to come, you do not have to. You can stay home and we will refund you or, you know, we'll take care of you, apply it, you know, to a later and give you a credit. But it was like the government didn't trust us to handle ourselves. Like, I've been doing just fine. It's okay. I don't need you dictating my every move, especially when people are losing jobs, losing everything. And I think they went too far.
Tell us about your platform, the platform you're running on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I've got a few things that I'm concerned about. And one is the border. The border is a huge issue right now. And I know we all kind of hear about it, and it's kind of gotten to a point where it's like, oh, yeah, the border's a mess. Well, that doesn't even cover it. I mean, it is a humanitarian crisis, first and foremost. We've got children that are being kidnapped, misrepresented at the border, coming over here and then forced into literal slavery, modern-day slavery, held captive by the cartels. We, first of all, Texas doesn't even have the space, the resources to take care of this amount of people coming through our border. It's unsafe for all of us. And so that is a huge thing that I would like to bring more attention to and to come up with solutions there. Inflation, it's killing us all, obviously. Gas prices are out of control. And I'm telling you, I saw that they went up today. And just last night I filled up, and this morning it was 6 cents higher. Groceries, eggs have gone up 40% this year. Chicken, 17%. It's no sign of slowing down. So what we have to do is we have to lower the cost of living. We have to. We have to for our citizens. And that means actually doing something about these property taxes, not just talking about it like we always do, but doing something. And then our schools, Carrie, I'm very passionate about our schools, and they need a lot of work. You know, 60% of our kiddos can't read right now at grade level, yet they have more money than they have ever had to educate these kids, and they still can't read. And so we've got to do something there. I think it's not going to hurt anybody to teach some life skills. I'd love to see trade programs, apprenticeships brought back into schools, you know, teaching kids the value of a dollar early on and teaching them how to fix things, you know, change a tire, you know, electrical work, plumbing, all of those things you can make good livings on. So there's a lot we can do there. And most importantly, I think, this kind of all boils down to just securing our rights as humans, as individuals, as a state, because all throughout history, you know, our leaders, our officials, they go corrupt, right? And we've seen this kind of totalitarian, you know, takeover, and I want to protect the citizens here in 95 and in Texas.
Wow.
That's a lot, Octavia.
It is a lot. If elected, what would you do day one?
Have a town hall. Let's sit down. Let's talk about what our priorities are. Let's talk, what do you need in your community? What are you seeing? What would you like me to focus on? What do you want me to stay away from? I think that's where there's been a huge disconnect. You know, it's in the name, a representative. You're supposed to represent the needs and the concerns of your community. And so there is nothing more important than doing that on day one. I need to know exactly what the game plan is, what we need to focus on. And it's not just my ideas, it's everybody's ideas. This district is massive. And I mean, I've been walking it every day, and I still got a long way to go, but we need to have a seat at the table together and figure it out.
Wow. So what promises can you make the voters if they elect you? Well, you know, a lot of times we hear from candidates and they make a lot of promises, and then when they get in office, we don't ever see, you know, them manifest what they told us they were going to do. But what can we expect from you? What promises will you make that we know that you will hold true to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, first I'll show up. I'll show up to work and I'll do the job. That's the most important. I will show up for you in District 95. And, you know, I can't make promises on legislation or bills or anything like that because, I mean, there's a lot of work to be done there. I can only promise, you know, this community that I will hold myself accountable, and I expect you to hold me accountable as well. You know, I'll be visible. I'll be available. And I think that is, because we haven't seen it in a while, going to be something that's going to help us out a lot.
Wow. Now that I agree with. We need to know that you're going to hold yourself accountable.
Absolutely. You know, there's no accountability right now in the majority of our government. And, I mean, we could go on and on about that. But, yes, you've got to have integrity. And I do. So I plan to be there for 95.
Wow. If elected, what do you hope to accomplish by the end of the first term?
Well, there's two bills that I want to introduce and get passed, and I'm going to talk to you about one of them. And it kind of goes back to the schools. You know, I want to pass a bill that keeps our kids safe from this data mining operation that we have got going on in schools right now. You know, we have got to make sure that we're requiring parental consent before their kids' private information is being sold to these third-party vendors, God knows where, and actually we do know where, you know, that we've seen reports of our kids' information being sold to companies in China, for example, at your own local school. I mean, what is that, and how did we agree to it? Most of us wouldn't. So I would like to make sure that our kids are protected and our parents know exactly what's being used and what's being given freely to these companies. That is a huge thing that I intend on focusing on when I get elected.
Well, can you elaborate on that? Why are we providing China with information on our children?
I mean, that's a great question. I'd love to know. I would love to know that. You know, it's what's happening is, you know, our kids are taking these surveys in class, and they're doing it on iPads. And they seem innocent, but they're not when you find out that we're giving that information to third-party vendors. And here's the deal. If you want, if that's something you're okay with, fine. But it's not something that we need to be hiding from parents. And, I mean, this is happening, and it's happening in every single school. I can guarantee it.
But, I mean, when you really think about that and the fact that so many children are being sex trafficked and so many children are coming up missing, it just really seems odd that we would be providing information to other countries about our children.
It does. It makes you question, honestly, the integrity of the entire system. Because, you know, I understand using technology. I get it. You know, we live in a very technologically advanced society. I would love to sit down with these people and for them to give me a list of reasons why that is okay and what are you doing with that information. You know, there's plenty of people out there that have tried to fight this and that are working really hard to fight it. But we need, this is one thing I think we need legislation on. We need laws to protect parents, and then we need to enforce those laws, and we need to make sure that we're keeping our kids safe. And I know it sounds crazy, but this is going on. I mean, this is going on. And people are finally starting to wake up to it. But Fort Worth ISD is one of the biggest culprits.
Wow. I did not know that. And I must do more research on that. I did not know that. You know, you talked a little bit about integrity earlier. This last March after the election, there was a lot of question marks as to, you know, who did what wrong and, you know, who was guilty of this, that, or the other. What are your thoughts on the integrity of the voting process?
Well, I'm furious. I'm not going to lie to you. And I think everyone should be furious or at least concerned that our elections are not fair. They're not safe. And, you know, here's the deal. Obviously, right now, there's a lot of stuff coming out about ballot harvesting and paying people to fill out ballots and stuff like that. And I don't care whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you should be concerned about this. This is all we got. And we have, I mean, if we can't trust our system, then what do we have? We're not free anymore. And so I'm very curious to see what's going to come out about this. And I'll tell you, some of these companies, again, that we have contracts with that use the internet and that use all of these crazy systems to count votes, it's like, why do we need it? Why?
Right. Interesting. You know, there was a lot of talk about, you know, whether or not the boxes were secured after they left the voting location and taken to the second location and that type of thing. And so, I don't know, there's just a whole lot about the process.
I'm going to tell you this too. You know, recently this has come out. It's a relatively new report. I know that we've got a contract with a company whose CEO was literally just arrested for voter fraud. So these are real things that are happening, and it's almost like you can't wrap your head around it. Like, no way. No, yes, way, it's happening here in Tarrant County. I don't know to what extent, but it's something that we've got to be vigilant. You know, we can't just turn a blind eye to these things because these are our elections. Might as well get super in the weeds with it because we've got to keep them safe.
What do you think the penalty should be if someone is caught cheating in the process? You know, they win the election because they cheated. What do you think the penalty should be?
900 years in jail. No, I'm kidding. I just think it's a federal offense, first of all, you know, when you commit election fraud. And so I don't agree with it being a slap on the wrist or, you know, just look the other way. It's you should be punished for it because you're threatening the very foundation that keeps America the greatest country in the world. And I don't stand for that because I love this country. This country has allowed so many people to rise up out of poverty, given so many people opportunities. We should be incredibly proud to call ourselves Americans, and it is a blessing. And so anyone that wants to threaten that, I've got a problem with, and you should be punished to the fullest extent of the law.
Wow. You stated in the pre-release. Wow. I just thought about what that would mean. You stated in the interview that you knocked on almost 5,000 doors. That's saying, what are you hearing from the voters out there as you're going through, you know, neighborhood to neighborhood?
So there's been a few issues that kind of pop up everywhere. The border, I have heard at nearly every door. You know, a lot of people are concerned about what is happening, you know, and I've heard the word, you know, or phrase, it's not sustainable, and they're right. So the border's on people's minds. The schools and school safety has been on some people's minds. There was a neighborhood in particular I was walking through, and I'm telling you, it was every single door they were talking about the lack of school safety or the lack of attention to it, and they were upset. And then the crime rates. So those three things, it's definitely on everybody's mind, and we're feeling it. And, you know, I hate it. We should not feel unsafe or uncomfortable in our communities. I mean, we just shouldn't. So I will, you know, I'll keep walking, and I'm hoping that I can bring about some positive solutions to these things, because it certainly is on everybody's minds.
Wow. What are your views on the Second Amendment?
I support it. I support the Second Amendment. You know, it is in our Constitution, and especially with this increase in crime, I would be terrified not to be able to defend myself. Or I think about, like, my grandma. You know, she doesn't live in the best part of town, and I know she may be a grandma, but I know she has a gun, and it makes me feel a little safer knowing that if someone were to come in, she could at least hopefully defend herself. And so I think about that, you know. I know that it's a hard topic for so many people, because it's affected us all differently, and we've all experienced, you know, guns differently, but it's a right that I think that we should protect.
Wow. You know, you talked about the borders earlier. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on sanctuary cities?
Well, for Fort Worth, and that's what I'll speak to, I'm against it, and I don't think that it's wise for us. We don't have the space here in Fort Worth. I mean, you're seeing we're just building on top of each other now. I mean, we don't have the space. We certainly don't have the infrastructure, you know, with the roads and the highways and public transportation obviously needs a little bit of a facelift. And so I hope our officials don't start entertaining this idea, because it really would be a detriment to the citizens here and for the people coming over. So, yeah, no, I'm not a fan, and I would fight against it.
Wow. I just question, you know, you got a homeless population that needs, you know, have great needs. And so, to me, if you make Fort Worth a sanctuary city, you give those people that come in all types of rights, but those same rights are not afforded to the homeless population.
You nailed it, 110%. It's, you know, take the speck of dust out of your own eye before you remove the plank from your brother's, I think, or something like that. You know, it's like get your own house clean first before you start, you know, inviting more people in. And so I agree with you there, Carrie.
I do too. Excuse me. I don't know what kind of dust this blew up. excuse me. Your opponent, has been in office since 2013. That said, what are your thoughts on term limits?
We need them up and down the board in every single office, 100%. You know, you go back to, like, our founding. These people were farmers, teachers, preachers, and Washington, actually, fun fact, was a cesspool. Well, I guess you could argue it kind of still is today, but it was dirty. No one stayed there. They didn't even have electricity. And it was because it was not supposed to be a career. It was supposed to be you go in, you do the right thing, you make the right votes, you put the right policies in place, and then you go back home, right? But now the government's so out of control. We've got people that have been in office for, you know, 50, 60 years. We've got governors that have no term limits, like here in Texas. I mean, we're just asking for a dictatorship, I feel like, eventually. And so, yes, we need term limits. And I will say, like, you know, my opponent, yes, she's been in office 10 years. I just want two. I want two to get things right, get things cleaned up, set us up for success, and then get out of there. I'm not trying to make a career out of this.
So you really feel like two terms is all a person should do?
Well, not should do. It depends. It depends on the legislature. You know, if you are constantly getting pushback from more, you know, crooks, then it may make take more than 2 years to get anything accomplished. You know, that's the thing. But, you know, to be frank, down in Austin, it's a uniparty. It's one big party down there. And if it's a two-party system, then it's us, the people, versus them down there. So it's I don't know how long it would take. I just know that I'm going into this thinking, okay, Taylor, you have got 2 years to do everything you possibly can to better this community. And then I'm not thinking past that right now.
Wow. And you know what? That's refreshing because a lot of the politicians, they grow old in these offices, and sometimes their views are not as up-to-date as maybe they should be. So I'm with you. I'm for term limits. I think everybody should realize it's not a career, but it's a job that you come and do your part. You know, you're a public servant, but a public servant should not be your career in one position.
Correct.
I agree with
you. I mean, if you want to make it your career, then start doing nice things for your neighbors and your friends, and you can be a public servant there. But, you know, when it comes, when you look at these people that enter an office with, you know, $100,000 to their name, if that, and they come out with multiple millions of dollars, okay, there's a problem there. What's going on? So I agree. And, you know, it has come up at a few doors. A lot of, you know, a few people have said, yeah, we need term limits. I think everyone can agree on that, hopefully.
Wow. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight we're talking to Taylor Mundick. He's a candidate for Texas House District 95. Taylor says a vote for a candidate and not for the party affiliation. So elaborate on that. You do not believe that people should be voting along party lines. You feel like they should vote for the candidate. Explain that.
100% I do. You know, today we're so, well, first we're so like polarized politically, and you can point to things on the far right and the far left and like all kinds of crazy in between. And so I'm personally not the biggest fan of this two-party system. I think we should have 15, 16 parties because it comes down to who the person is. You know, we've seen people run on, you know, a Democrat ticket that's really not, and they're super, super extreme, or people that run on the Republican side that are Democrats. It's just a mess. It's why you've got to vote for the candidate. And so, you know, I say people over party because that's what it comes down to, in my opinion. And I can point to things on both sides that I don't agree with. And if you could get elected as an independent, I'd probably be running as an independent. I'm just being honest. But, I think vote candidate. I've heard that a couple times, but I've also heard, you know, that, I'll never vote for this side or I'll never vote for that side. We got to get over that. We really do, because it's just further dividing us, I think.
I mean, after the March election, it really was clear that both parties are in turmoil. So I really can see that anybody who blindly goes into the booth and just votes straight down a ticket today just based on party affiliation is probably not an informed voter, because there's so much going on and you really have to look at the individual and not necessarily the party, because, again, there's a lot going on with the party. Just, I'm going to leave that right there, but I hope you get the gist of what I'm saying. There's a whole lot going on after the March election that made me wonder, like, if both parties had lost their minds. But
that's just my thought. I just want, you know, I want us as a society, really. I mean, think about when, I don't know, women got the right to vote, or the first, you know, black man or woman got to vote. I mean, that was a cherished and a sacred moment. And now we don't even, the majority of us, you know, don't even bother looking up, or I'll get texts like, hey, who do I vote for? And we got to take this a little bit more seriously, because that's one way we can hold these people accountable. You know, we're not voting for you, or, you know, we'll vote you out, or it's just, this is, it's so important to be informed. So it doesn't take much. You know, you can find a lot now with the internet. So just do your research and, yeah, that's where I'm at.
I agree. Tell us your thoughts on this recent property tax hike.
Oh, gosh. I talk to every single voter about the property taxes, and because it's killing us. And here in Fort Worth, what, city council raised our taxes? I mean, have you seen our roads? Fort Worth ISD raised our taxes. I mean, have you seen some of the schools on the east side? I have. I went and walked through one the other day. Tarrant County College raised our taxes. And by the way, with them, they don't even need the money. They already have extra money. So now they just got even more money. When we're literally on the verge of a depression, and I'm not saying that to scare everybody, but, you know, before they start changing definitions and acting all crazy, it's three negative quarters in a row. Well, we're there. And I just don't understand the line of thinking. They have money. They have plenty of money. What they need to do is allocate it better. Stop misusing the funds. They're not even their funds in the first place. They're our funds, the taxpayers' funds. So this property tax hike is it's killing people, and it breaks my heart, especially in some of these neighborhoods. I can hear it in their voice when they're talking to me. And that's why this next session, we can't just, you know, fiddle around with small numbers, either buy down the property tax or eliminate it altogether. You know, the governor said he was going to use half of the surplus, which is $27 billion. So what, $13.5 billion to buy down these taxes? We need to make sure he does it, because this is not sustainable. I don't see prices going down anytime soon, and it worries me. It's concerning. So, and we got to, by the way, we got to hold our city officials accountable too, because these rate hikes are out of control.
I saw on one of your posts, and I'm trying to find it, where you mentioned your opponent's voting record. Can you elaborate on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's bad. It's like, if you like horror movies, go read her voting record, because it'll keep you up at night. And I'll tell you, let's talk about the financials real fast. So lower taxes, property taxes, all that. Well, every time my opponent has an opportunity to do something about that, she either is not there, she's not voting, she's no-show Nicole, or she's voting against it. So let's see, capping state spending, right? Giving a strict hard budget, and this is a big one, requiring voter approval before tax increases, voted against it, right? She voted for an increase in property taxes regardless of need. So basically, like schools, you know, when they're setting their rates, even if they don't need it, they can raise it. She voted for that. I mean, so who is she really for? The people or the special interests? And then there was an amendment, I believe. You know, we don't have income tax here in Texas. And I think one of the reps was trying to pass a bill that said, we're going to put it in law that it's forbidden. Like, we will never have an income tax. She voted against it. Why? Why? I mean, it's things like that. Schools, and I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. There was, and this had to do with, it was the lower income kids from choosing better schools. So it was like a tiny little segue into opening up choice, and she voted against that. And it's just none of these votes. I'm looking through, waiting for one that's like, okay, yes, and I can't find it. I didn't appreciate her vote when they shut down our churches and, you know, our places of worship. I didn't appreciate the vote that kept family members from seeing their dying loved ones in the hospital that they'll never see again. I mean, it blows my mind, and it's, I guess, partly my fault too, because I'm getting in now. I wish I would have gotten in 10 years ago and it started making some noise, because it's pretty crazy.
Wow. And y'all, listen, as far as his opponent is Nicole Collier, the incumbent. She was invited to be a part of this show. However, I never heard back from her office.
So for anybody who wants to beat me up after this show and say it's not fair that you didn't bring on the incumbent was invited. So put your pin there. No. She was invited. So, you know, that's the kind of inboxes I'll get after the show. They'll say, well, you know, it wasn't fair that you brought that person. Yeah.
I appreciate that you invited both of us. I mean, I really do, because it's important that we hear from both of us. You know, we have a choice. We have a choice this election, especially. You know, we've had 10 years. We want to see what we can do together in two, or we want another two, make it 12 years.
I agree. Going from community to community, where do you see the greatest need lies, and how would you address it if elected?
I think there's been a couple. I really am seeing the problems we're having with the infrastructure and the transportation. I'm seeing that firsthand, and a lot of people, you know, complain about it. And so fixing, just making sure that our streets are safe, and that's a need that should be met. And I think that we can work with our budget to make sure those things happen and hold the people that can do the fixing accountable. And then schools, I need my parents to feel good about school again. I really do. And I need them to feel comfortable sending their kids to school and not worrying. And so school safety is something that we really, really need to address. And, you know, I'm just going to say it. I was watching an interview the other day, my opponent did, and she was going on and on about school safety. And I mean, it was just words at that point, because I'm thinking about when she had opportunities to do something it was strengthening our police officers. You know, she was voting against our basic police officers being able to carry on school property, a police officer. And that's the very least you could do. And so infrastructure, you know, school safety, the crime, I know it's an issue, and I want everyone to hear me right now. That is going to take a massive community effort. It is not something I will be able to fix myself, and that's going to take that is a very it's hard, and it's a cultural, it's a society, it's we're going to have to come together and really, you know, put some of our greatest minds together here within the community, whether it's our, you know, educators, our spiritual leaders, our community activists and leaders, you know, just everyday folk coming together. So I do want to say that but those couple of things I think we need to focus on.
Okay, I see we have a caller. Do you want to take calls tonight, Taylor?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I see 817-740. Good evening, you're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hello, good evening to you, Kerry. Thank you for taking my call. You know I had to get in on the discussion when it comes to politics. And good evening to your guest, Mr. Taylor Mundick.
Hi.
Wonderful. Glad you. Thank you for coming on to this platform.
Yes,
it is truly, Kerry truly has a platform that's like none other. And thank you for coming on. She is a unbiased. She just down the middle. You know what I'm saying? And she allows everyone the opportunity to come on if you're running for political office to be heard. You know, and let the people know. You know about you. And.
Mm-hmm.
I heard some things from you, and I would say, hey, I just want to say kudos in your run. I truly believe you do have a heart of a servant. Well, you knocked on 5,000 doors. You've given me something to consider for my next campaign run coming up next year for city council.
Amazing.
You know, I'm gonna have to get busy. But 5,000, that says a lot. And as far as your opponent,
I'll help you, because it takes a village.
Yes, sir. and I'm glad you called it like it is when it comes to political affiliation. I tell myself I don't align myself with either political party. You know, I believe if I was to be labeled somebody, I'd probably be an independent or somebody that's just down the middle, you know, because I can find good or bad on either, you know. But I try to stick to the purpose of being a servant, and the fact that you were able to articulate your opponent, your the incumbent's record it says a lot. You know, I know politics can get dirty, but I don't detect dirt from you. I just think you just call the facts like there are. I feel like with her voting record, what came to mind is a lot of these people will vote one way because they know what will keep them in office. If they vote contrary, then they know it's a possibility that the other side or whoever wants to get them out, they line up against them. So I'm glad that you seem to be someone that's going to be just do everything from your heart. And I'm glad you the things you said you're not going to be able to do, you're going on record as saying, and hey, it's going to take some work. It's going to take, you know what I'm saying? You're being realistic.
I appreciate you pointing that out. I really do. And it I can't tell you how encouraging it is to hear another individual just say, you know, I see what you're doing, and hey, guess what? I'm kind of the same. I vote for who I believe in, or I vote for the candidate. Like, that gives me hope, you know, because whether it's the media or whatever, they make us feel like we're against each other. And I know that we've got some divisions out there, but I really feel like we are more connected on levels than we are not. And you just make sure if I do get elected that you just hold me and whoever's after me and whoever else just accountable, because we need that.
And I'll take off on this real brief. I'm glad since you've been keeping up with you here in Fort Worth, so you are aware of what's going on within our city council. I think I'm gonna say what I need to say regarding the property tax deal they just did. I'm gonna save that for next week for the council meeting. But I think anything can be changed. You know what I'm saying? Anything can be changed. But when people, like you say, are in position to talk one way. It's just words and actions, you know. Either your words and actions going to line up, or one is going to outdo the other. Either your actions are going to outdo your words, or your words are going to outdo the action. So I feel like you got to be a balance. But, yeah, property taxes, that's – I think what you said about real brief about the media, like you said, they know how to keep us divided. If it ain't on politics, they'll do about race, or they'll do about class, or they'll do about – how you feel about this issue and how you feel about that issue. Everything is a means to keep us, you know what I'm saying, at one another. But again, thank you. This is your time to continue, you know, just letting people know who you are. I'm going to hang up and listen to the rest of the show. Thank you, Carrie. Hey, Dan Cover had an opportunity. She had an opportunity. Hey, it seemed like she might have just lost the vote. I just got to go on record and say she might have lost the vote. You know what I'm saying? I believe in people coming on, you know what I'm saying, being accountable. So you got my vote. I'll go on record and say you got my vote.
All right.
Peace.
Oh, man, I wasn't expecting that. Hey, I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you soon.
Tell us, what is your district? What does it include? What areas of town?
So we've got all of downtown Fort Worth, and then we go east pretty far, and all the way to about Cook. So we're covering, the neighborhoods in between. We've got Interlochen, Morningside, Southside, all the Southsides, historic, near Southside. We've got Hanley, John T. White. We've got what else? We got Everman, Forest Hill. We got a little bit of Arlington. It's a tiny sliver of Arlington. Edgecliff Village, can't forget them. And then we've got the space in between. So it's big. It's really big. Echo Heights, Hallmark, Camelot. I mean, we've got them all.
Wow. What can
Meadowbrook.
Meadowbrook as well. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What can the voters expect from your first 100 days?
So 100 days. That's a little over 3 months. So, well, 3 town halls, that's for sure. 3 meetings, either face-to-face or virtual. I mean, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to get in the same room or technosphere, and we're going to talk. I want every single person to feel like they are sitting in that seat as well. I mean, really, when's the last time we've had that really anywhere? You know, it's we've got to return the power back to the people. And so definitely 3 town halls. These are the issues. This is what's coming up. Hashing out agreements, disagreements. You know, that's what you got to do. And so you could expect that, and you could expect me to be extremely vocal if there's something that is going to hurt my District 95, and extremely passionate about something that's going to help. So that's the game plan, at least.
Okay. Listen, I see quite a few callers on the line. If you want to speak to Taylor, you're going to need to press 1. Otherwise, I do not come to you unless you press 1 after you're connected. Listen, if you are on the listen via internet and want to speak with Taylor, the phone line number is 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. That's 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. We're going to go to 682-702. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Awards. Hi.
Hi, Carrie. This is Becky Delosiewicz. Hi.
Hi.
Taylor Mondick. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah, no,
I have
okay.
a quick question. Yeah, I have a quick question. Basically, a lot of anxiety, you were talking about how you want to bring people together. And I think a lot of the anxiety right now is that the extremism that's coming out of the far right. We've had the CPAC, and we had Hungary's Orban come and speak, and he's a pro-Putin white nationalist who's against interracial marriages. So a lot of people are very concerned and very scared for good reason, because that's scary. And then we saw a bunch of conservatives saying, we are domestic terrorists, and we've heard people like Marjorie Taylor Greene on the news saying that she thinks that Democrats are hunting Republicans. So there is a real far alt-right, but it's very, very much in the Conservative Party because it's MAGA and it's Trump and it's Mike Pence. So it's not like it's not a small part of the party. So I understand that there are Republicans that I have a lot of Republican friends that stopped voting Republican because they're like, oh my God, the party's been taken over by madness. You know, they do not want anything to do. I mean, I've been to parties, and I'd walk in, and if there was a freaking neo-Nazi there, I would leave the party. I wouldn't hang out. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like
so
hopefully.
When you're in an alt-right party that has embracing of QAnon and embracing of white nationalism, embracing racism, embracing Putin – it does scare a lot of people. I don't really feel like they're doing anything wrong by being scared.
Well, to your point, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, I feel like that is scary. I will say this. Personally, I've never met anyone on the far right, but so I don't know. You know, I've just never.
I don't feel like
I don't
it's
know.
Far right. I think
but,
CPAC's very – isn't CPAC very much everybody? Greg Abbott was there. Is Greg Abbott far right?
I mean, I don't know. Here's what I can speak to. The points you're making, kind of about the far right, I certainly
seems
saw
just
come
right.
From the far left. You know, let's not forget the Summer of Love. Let's not forget all the violence, all the businesses and lives.
No, the Black Lives Matter is actually is more peaceful than the civil rights movements in the 1960s. So it's actually not quite that violent.
So this is what I think we need to focus on, though. We see those things exist. I get it. And this goes back to vote the candidate. You get to know that person. You spend time with them. You volunteer to go walk. You get to hang out a day with them and see, okay, can I – because it's all a vibe check, too. I mean, everybody knows that everybody's got it. It's that energy that you feel. And, and I think that's probably the most important thing is because – when I'll catch myself, because I do this, if I, like, find myself watching the news for a little too long, I start to get triggered, and then I'm like, okay, Taylor, you got to get back down to earth. You know what I do? I go block walking early, and then I meet people, and then it calms me down because I'm like, okay, what I'm seeing here and what I'm, you know, I'm not seeing here in my town with
the
voters.
Well, the CPAC is in Dallas. So that's not
okay,
the news.
That's fine.
That's just happening.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and,
like,
and
I'm
get,
a historian, so the news is just history. It doesn't stress me out. But
okay.
Anyway.
It stresses me out.
Real quick,
that, yeah.
I'm sorry for that, but it actually is informative to me personally. Journalists, I think, would not be stressed out by the news. But one more question. How do you feel about January 6th? Do you, when you're around someone who's conservative that says, I want to pardon insurrectionists, that is –
Who said that? Just so I know.
Trump and Marjorie Taylor.
Oh, Trump.
Taylor.
Okay. Okay. So as far
Greg
as
Greg Abbott
goes,
is on the stage with Trump. So Greg Abbott is connected to these people. So it's not that far from being conservative in Texas.
Oh, I think it's very far. But I will
so
say.
So are you not? So Greg Abbott is at CPAC with Trump.
I don't know. All I'm saying is I, like I said, I vote candidate. That's just what I do. And so I would not vote for someone that I feel like is crazy. But to your question,
right.
If you committed a crime, then you should be held accountable. If you assaulted a police officer, you should be held accountable. I think there was a lot of examples of people doing the wrong and illegal things. And again, you should be held accountable.
Good.
And so
that's
I'm just about
hear.
Accountability. Yeah, that's
well, that's good
that's,
to hear because if you have people, like if I had people in the Democrat Party or independent or progressives anytime, because there's like a bunch of people. I know you say it's two-party, but there's a lot of progressives that are kind of standing with Democrats because MAGA has gone so crazy. So I feel like when I'm with Democrats, it's actually kind of a mix of two-party because it's a progressive Democrat party. There's a big tent. And when we go into the Republicans, you see a lot of independents and then MAGA and then Republican, right? Like it's a lot. So there's either side has a vast amount of different people. And as long as you can all come together and debate without the fear of being hung to death, because, I mean, people chanting to hang Mike Pence is scary. As an educator, you wouldn't want your children to, like, have any elections at a high school go that way.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we see a lot of crazy, and, I certainly, and this is my opinion, I'm gonna tell you, certainly seen a lot of crazy things come from the left, scary things, just like we have with the right. And mind you,
I have
everybody,
not seen any
that,
scary insurrections come from the left.
We've got to focus
I don't
on
agree
local
with that.
Government.
No,
federal government.
I have not seen – the insurrection was a once – it has never happened in the history of the United States. We cannot compare it to anyone.
That's fine. And like I said, they should be held accountable. But we've got to get our eyes off the federal government and focus on our local government.
Right. We got 3 minutes to get out of
here.
Well,
as long as our Dallas is local, and Dallas had CPAC and Hungary's Orban, so that is local to me. Thank you for your time.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely. Thank you, Becky.
Okay,
yeah.
Taylor.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Okay, Taylor, we're down for our last 3 minutes of the show. Where did the hour go? Listen, if someone wants to volunteer to help you out with your campaign, how do they reach out to your contact information and your website?
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is my95.win, my95.win, W-I-N. And my cell phone, you can text me. Text is I'll get to it quick. You can call me, whatever. That is 817-953-0529. If you have questions, I will answer them. And my email is taylor@mondickfor95.com. So check me out. And, you know, I think we touched on some amazing issues today. You know, at the end of the day, I want to see District 95 thrive. We deserve it. I want to see the government off of our backs and setting us up for success, not overburdening us. I want this divisive nature that has become politics to be put to the side. Let the crazies be crazy, and let's come together and show everybody what it looks like when Americans, when Texas comes together. And I think that we can do that. I know that we can do that. So, Carrie, I'm so grateful that you allowed me to come on today. And, yeah, just very grateful. Thank you so much.
No problem. Listen, tell them when is early voting.
October 24th. And, by the way, October 11th is the last day to get registered. So you can do that online. I think it's votetexas.org, and it will walk you through it. But October 24th through November 4th, early voting, and then Election Day is November 8th.
Wait a minute. You said a lot of days. I'm confused. Okay, so early voting.
October 24th, early voting starts. So hit that up. And then November 8th is Election Day. And just know you've got, until next week to get registered.
Okay, so it's October 11th to get registered.
Yes, that's correct.
Gotcha. All right, y'all, listen, that was Taylor Montrick. He's running for House District 95. Listen, looks like his opponent's got to run for her money on that one, y'all. I'm just saying, listen, thank you, Taylor, for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you, the audience, for listening. Listen, follow us on Facebook. We're on Facebook at Let's Talk Fort Worth. We'd love to have you check out the page. We update it every single day. There's great content over there, so definitely check it out. Listen, consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. If you have a product, a service, campaign, or a nonprofit, we would love to have you as an advertiser, and we will definitely work with your budget. Also, if you'd like to be a donor, we work on great content, and we need your assistance in doing so, so that we can continue to bring you great shows each and every week. Listen, y'all, we will be back right here tomorrow night from 7 to 9 p.m. doing this exact same thing, bringing you great shows. So we'll see you then. Good night.